brother. Amen. And, you know, a good evening, church family. You know, some preachers, they'll, to get you to stay a little longer, they'll tempt you to go off-road. And your pastor did that. And he said a tow truck's on the way, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. He may leave me there and say, you're preaching Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday too, brother. Amen. Well, I appreciate your pastor too. I want to commend you as a church family, pastor as well, Pastor Leatherman. You guys did a wonderful job today. It was a blessing to look out and see the visitors, see how you responded to them, the food, more than we could imagine. And I want to commend Brother Jerry with the grill operation. And right now he's been orchestrating and holding the openings there, keeping things open for the tow truck when he shows. And just a very special night. You guys were first class. And that doesn't always happen. And I want to say thank you. And I think you very well represented the Lord today to each and every person that came as a visitor, a politician, whoever they represented. And I just say thank you. Appreciate that very much. That was first class. I do want to mention, take time to go back to my ministry table. Some of you have asked questions about it, how to get the new DVD. We will show a clip of that. Probably while I'm out getting that thing unstuck, they'll play that. But we have opened up a new front to the chaplains. I've got a number of chaplains coming online. I've got two right now. One of them deals with the Marines. And then I've got potentially 16 more coming online just in the next few weeks. We're just barely keeping up with the two. I don't know what kind of waterfall I went over on these 16, but we provide the resources for free to the chaplains to distribute to the troops. Take time to go by our table. The first thing we have is what we call our Alpha Pack. That's 10 items, including the DVD, a sermon, just some phenomenal information in there, the Psalms and Hymns and Spiritual Booklet. So 10 items, that's our Alpha Pack. And then we also have a pocket pack we call our Bravo Pack. It's a water-resistant, 7 items. They can go ahead and return the postcard in there to me to get me mailing them a free video production, The Marine Corvette Story. And so that's the Bravo Pack. And then the newest thing we just came out with was our Charlie Pack. It's a 2-gigabyte ammo drive. Downloadable thumb drive. It is ammo. It's waterproof. I know this because I threw in a glass of water for 10 minutes. Still worked. I have over $91 worth of resources on this thing, downloadable to their computer. 5 of my sermons, 20 of our children's songs, the dramatized audio of the book of John. You say, why John? Because John said he wrote everything for one reason, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that believing you might have life through his name. The entire King James Bible, PDF, Genesis to Revelation, downloadable. We've got 125 American scenes from cities to Mount Rushmore with King James scripture verses that can be gone and put in together as a screensaver. About $91 worth of stuff. And we give these free to the troops, request only on a return postcard from our Alpha package. I have no idea what's going to happen. But let me tell you what happened with one chaplain. He wrote me a letter in December. This is what he said. Hello, Brother David. I want to thank you for all the support you provide to us here at SOI West Coast. That's Infantry Training, Camp Pendleton, all Marines out of boot camp. See this chaplain, West Coast. Each Sunday we make use of the materials your ministry provides to us. I realize you have some wonderful folks in churches who support you in this ministry to our Marines, so please pass on to them my gratitude. We are seeing many young men come to faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the materials you send to us are a tool in that effort. As I've mentioned before, we have an average of 15 young men trusting Christ as their Savior every Sunday, and some Sundays we see as many as 40 being saved. God is doing a great work here. He gets 200 to 500 Marines every single Sunday. Again, thank you for your support, for the support of all the folks and churches who are assisting us here with our mission to our Marines. God bless you, Chaplain James Williford, Lieutenant Commander, United States Navy, Camp Pendleton. He said to me, I saw him a year and a half ago. He's the one who helped encourage me to launch this package program to the troops. He's a Baptist. He loves the Lord, saved. And when I asked him what he does with the Marines, he said, basically, Brother Dave, I preach the devil out of them. He said, they're scared kids. They're out of home. They haven't found their crowd. Some of them going to the war zone. And I'm catching them at a vulnerable time in their life. and getting the gospel into their hearts. My mind rolls back 30-some years. I know of a fella, young Marine, fresh out of boot camp, Memphis, Tennessee. He was homesick. He was hadn't got a hold of his crowd yet, and someone cared enough to invite him to church, then invite him to his home, their home. Then they began to teach this guy the Word of God, and about 2-3 months into the deal, this kid got saved. I know the kid. He's me. Someone cared for me. Had a very vulnerable time in my life, and I'm catching these chaplains who are catching these kids when they're most likely to hear the truth. You pray for it. We've opened a whole new front up. I have no clue what waterfall I pulled off, but we're going to, by God's grace, try to provide these materials every time a chaplain requests these things. We have the order form for the chaplains. They're no charge. You say, well, you might want to, could we help? Listen, go purchase something off the table. We got a DVD for $8. We spent $30,000 filming. It's a video track. Somebody in here bought one years ago in the original version of the car, shipped them to a relative, and they got saved. I got the email from that fella. Or go ahead and buy a thumb drive. $91 worth of material, we sell them for $25. And that $25 pays for that one and gives me enough money to send one to the troops. You buy ammo, they get ammo. Or just go to the blue box and throw some money in there. All right? That's how you can help us. Here's the thing. Whether the funds come in or not, we send them when the orders show. That's just who we are. And so you want to be a part of that and be a blessing. But you pray for us. It's opened up a whole new front in addition to what I do. When I get to the end of life, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen. And I just can't have in my heart to say no to these guys. So you want to be a part of that, go by our table, see my wife. We will show one clip after the sermon's done or whenever I have to bail to help get my rig out. And you'll get a little taste of what's on that DVD, one of 15 stories. With that said, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 16. And by the way, Pastor, if you'd come, I want to just gift this to you. I want to gift you the thumb drive, so there you go. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And once you find your place, if you're able to stand, stand with me, and I'll know that you have it. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Very familiar story here. We started this morning. I want to finish the message tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons." Notice verse 4, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. I draw your attention to verse 7. Notice Samuel's response. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance. The Lord's response to Samuel, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Notice again with me the reason for refusal. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I want to conclude tonight that little thought we begin this morning, drawn from 1 Samuel chapter 16, I entitled, "The heart of the matter is this, it is a matter of your heart." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be in your house and with your people. I pray you bless this thought to the hearts of your people. And Lord, as we look at the situation, I pray that, Father, be your will, you'd even draw that fella in to hear the preaching and give me the time to share this message before we go out to pull that rig. Lord, use the thought in the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, to be real. Help us to be honest. And I pray, Father, you who hold kings' hearts and seize them, Father, I pray tonight what you see inside of us will be pleasing in your sight. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, may they be acceptable to thee. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The heart of the matter, indeed, is this, it is a matter of your heart. We said this morning that when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about the organ inside of you that's pumping blood right now. When the Bible refers to your heart, it's not talking about a little Valentine cutout shape that you see on a card in February, in the middle of February. But your heart was something entirely different. Noah Webster said it this way. He said, your heart is the seat of your passions and your affections. It's your innermost being. It's the source of all your desires. It's that rudder inside of you right now that turns you anywhere it wants you to go and makes it do what makes you do whatever it wants you to do. And I said this morning, of everything about you, how God's assembled you, it's your heart that He prizes above everything else. It's your heart that He sees. It's your heart that He wants. It's important to Him. And we said this morning, it's important to Him for a number of reasons. But the first reason was this, because sin in your life is a matter of your heart. Look with me again in Jeremiah chapter 17 very quickly. In Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, we see your heart and my heart described by God. And notice how He describes it. Sin is a matter of the heart. Sin originates in the heart. In Jeremiah 17, 9, the Bible says, the heart, that's your heart and that's my heart. That's your seat of all your passions and affections and mine as well, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, He says, search that heart. Notice again with me tonight as we come into this second half of the message that when God describes your innermost being, He ascribes to it words that are less than glowing. He says inside of you is deceitfulness, wickedness, and desperation. Now, I say tonight, if you were to go down to a psychiatrist tomorrow morning, you decide you're going to check yourself in, get down on that couch and have that psychiatrist or psychologist analyze you, I believe with all my heart that they would, if you asked them what's inside of me, they would give you a whole different description of your innermost being than God does. I believe they say something like this. You know, inside of you is somebody basically good. And you try to do the best you can, but because of something that happened in the past, no fault of your own. And by the way, when else could it have happened? That you've turned into the person you are and the struggles that you have. But basically, you're a good person, not a bad person. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They're in direct opposition to the Word of God. And you and I, every one of us, has to go ahead and decide whose counsel we're going to take. We're going to have to go ahead and decide at some point in our life who we're going to believe and whose assessment is really true. I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather believe somebody that put me together and spoke this universe into existence rather than somebody fleecing me out of $100, $200 an hour half the time doesn't even know who he is. Mark it well. Your assessment and determination of who you're going to believe about who you really are apart from Jesus Christ will make a big determination what you do with Jesus Christ. A famous hymn, Amazing Grace. We sang it this morning in the opening of the service. And people that look at the hymn history know that there was a fellow named John Newton that wrote that hymn. John Newton was a slave ship captain. John Newton dealt with human chattel and slaves and all of the things that came with that industry. And of all the slave ship captains, John was one of the most wicked. Other slavers hated John's wickedness. He was the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. But most people do not know. But his first 7 years, John was raised at the knee of a Puritan mother. He heard the hymns of the faith. He heard her read the Bible and pray. He was raised at the knee of a Puritan mother, but at the age of 7, John's mother died, and John's father, seagoing father, was left to raise his boy. In his early 20s, John was introduced to two very popular books in his time. They were written by a guy named Lord Shaftesbury. The first title was Characteristics of Men, Manners, Opinions, and Time. But the second title was a single word, Rhapsody. Both of these books taught, among other things, that human nature was basically good. The misconduct wasn't sin, but simply a bad taste in morals. Collectively, both of these volumes trampled underfoot original sin and mankind's natural bent toward evil. Listen to what John Newton said about those books. He said, quote, "They beguiled my heart with fine words and fair speeches, and their slow poison trickled into the stream of my mind, opening the door to anything I desired and allowing me to determine my own destiny and wriggle free of my mother's Puritan theology and morality." And with those words, one of the most wicked guys that ever lived took off in life. John Newton, a wicked man. But years later, God got John's heart. And John saw himself for who he really was, desperate, deceitful, and wicked. And John Newton got saved. And out of that heart flowed these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Your heart tonight is important to God because sin is a matter of your heart. You sin because your heart wants to sin. But then we saw a second truth this morning. Very quickly, go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we saw the second great truth about your heart and my heart. And it was this, not only that sin is a matter of the heart, but salvation from our sin is also a matter of the heart. In Romans chapter 10, look what's said in verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine, what? Heart. The seed of all your passions, the source of all your desires, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We saw the second truth this morning about your heart and mine, and it was this. Salvation is a matter of the heart. You cannot get saved without your heart being involved. We saw the faith that saves was not just intellectual. It came from your soul. It came from your innermost being. It was a mental ascent of the mind to the truths of the gospel, accompanied with a yielding of the will and affections, and then a humble reliance on Christ alone for salvation. A few years ago, I was at Fort Hood. I was preaching outside the gates of Fort Hood at a church there. The Sergeant Major of Fort Hood is on my movie. He's a personal friend of mine. He's a member of that church, and he's followed us into evangelism now. He's going to be getting on the road teaching leadership seminars. I would recommend him for any men's meeting that you have. Sergeant Major Archie Davis, 4th Combat Aviation Brigade, Sergeant Major of Fort Hood, that took over after the shooting with Major General Grimsley. I was preaching there, and following the morning service, my buddy came up to me, who had introduced me to the pastor to start with, and he said, "Hey, preacher," he said, "you got anybody to go with on visitation today?" And that church makes their visits at 4 o'clock on Sunday when the choir meets to practice. People come, they get their cards. There are only one or two churches that do it that way, and that's fine. That's the beauty of a local church. That's how they do it. I said, "No, I don't have anybody to go with." He said, "How'd you like to come with me?" I said, "Well, sure." I said, "What are we doing? Knocking doors? You got a visit?" He said, "I've got a guy I want you to meet." I says, well, tell me about him. He said, "Listen, man, he was raised in a Christian home. He knows his Bible really well. He's about 25, 26 years old. He's going through a horrible divorce right now. And preacher, he knows the Bible really well, but there's nothing about his life and how he's living that says he belongs to Jesus Christ and is saved. And I figured you could come with and you know just what to say to him." I don't know what people are thinking when they call the evangelist to come help. They think we got the pixie dust or something. People say, how do you take that? Listen, man, I'm telling you, I met the guy at 4 o'clock. We headed toward there to make the visit. You say, "Well, how were you praying?" I'll be quite honest with you. I was praying the guy wouldn't be in. I said, "What am I going to say to a guy? I'm just as scared as you are to go out there and talk to somebody." You know what I'm saying? I learned a long time ago, the hardest door to open is the car door. You get that thing open, you're halfway there. You know what I mean? So I'm praying the guy ain't going to be there because I have no clue what to tell somebody who probably knows as much Bible as I do. We get there and he's there. How's that for an attitude for an evangelist? And as we're walking up, my buddy shakes his head. He introduces me to him, you know. He says, this is Dave Summerdorf. He's a guest preacher. And I pray to myself, what am I going to say? I don't have a clue. I'm a deer in headlights. But my buddy thankfully starts chattering to this guy. And while he's chattering, I'm praying on steroids. And about a minute or two in, my buddy turns to me and says, hey, maybe there's something you want to say. And while he was talking, I believe the Spirit of God gave me just what to say. I turned to him and I said, as a matter of fact, I do want to ask something. I said, I understand you're raised in a Christian home. He said, yes, sir. I understand you're going through a divorce right now. I'm serving our country in the Army. I appreciate that. And you know a lot of Bible and you profess to be saved. But let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your religious experience, as you're going through life, you got the controls, you got the reins, you're going where you want to go, you're doing what you want to do, you're living how you want to live. Has there ever been a time in your religious experience you took those reins, you handed them over to God and say, here, you got the controls of my heart. Man, I'll never forget what he did. He looked down at the deck, kicked around a little bit, kind of embarrassed. He said, no, sir. He said, I've never done that. I said, listen, man, I don't know your heart. Maybe you're saved and horribly backslidden. Maybe you're just not saved, but I know this. That is what God wants from you. He wants the reins of your heart. And I just prayed with him and left him with that thought. About a week later, my buddy calls me, a week and a half later, all excited. He said, preacher, he said, you remember that guy you talked to there on visitation? I said, yes, sir. He come to church the next Sunday. He got saved Sunday night. My preacher's baptizing him this Sunday. Wow, you know, sometimes my fear is in America, we know all the answers. Yep, Jesus is this, Jesus is that. Let me tell you, Jesus died is a historical fact. Even Josephus writes about that one, the Jewish historian. Jesus died for sin. That's a theological truth our Bible colleges teach. But Jesus died for me. He died for my filthy sin. And he beckons me, turn from self and drop the reins and step across and trust him alone. That is a life-saving faith.
Amen.
You can get saved without a prayer. You can get saved without a preacher. You can get saved without a single person present. But you cannot get saved without your heart. Salvation is a matter of your heart. I say tonight, please, don't know all about him and don't know him. Don't miss heaven by 18 inches. Sin is a matter of the heart. Do you own that one? Do you really see who you are in the sight of God? And then salvation is a matter of the heart. Do you really see who he is? Why don't you yield and surrender? But there's a third truth. Go to Exodus 35 tonight. In Exodus chapter 35, we see a third great truth about your heart and my heart. Notice what's said here. It's this. Service to God is a matter of the heart. In Exodus 35, look in verse number 4. In Exodus 35, in verse number 4, the Bible says, and Moses spake unto the children of unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a, look at this, willing heart, let him bring it. Notice verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, who came? Everyone whose heart stirred him up. Notice verse 22, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. There it is again. And verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman, here it is again, whose heart made them willing to bring. Wow, do you see the third great truth about your heart and my heart tonight? It's this. service to God. Serving God is a matter of your heart. I mean, there's a call for an offering, and they're building the tabernacle, and Moses makes the call for the people to respond, to go ahead and bring the resources to build the tabernacle. Some gave and some didn't. Some contributed, some didn't. Some offered and some didn't. You say, well, what was the difference? In every instance, the difference was their heart. And as I travel America, I see it all the time. Service to God and our worship of God, it does not depend on the circumstances of life without us. It depends upon something called the heart within us. It's not an issue of resources. I'm in places where there's a call for an offering to meet a need, and there's people that have all kinds of resources, but because their heart doesn't want to go ahead and give, they don't give. And then I see this person that hardly has a thing, scraping together what little they got because their heart wants to give. They give. It's not an issue of abilities. I met people that have incredible abilities that God has given them, but their heart doesn't want to serve the Lord, so they don't use their talents. They don't use their abilities for the Lord. And then there's somebody over here that barely has anything, and what little they have, they're giving to them. I meet people. It's not an issue of your schedule and time. I meet retired people with a ton of time on their hands. Their heart doesn't want to serve the Lord, man. They just want to hang out and have a good time. And then there's people that are busy working 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, but their heart wants to serve the Lord, and they chisel out and they make sure they serve. Here's the deal. If your heart wants to serve the Lord, you'll find a way to serve Him. But if you don't want to serve the Lord, you'll find a reason not to. And you'll always blame somebody else as to why you can't serve the Lord. The service of God and the worship of our God, it boils down not to what's outside, it boils down to what's inside of you, to your heart. My years ago, we were up in Alaska, Deb and I, that's where we started, North Pole, Alaska. Don't let that scare you, it's not the North Pole. It can feel like the North Pole, but it's right out of sight of Fairbanks. I affectionately call that place Bear Flanks. It goes about 55 below in the wintertime. 68's my all-time record low, 68 below. And it'll go up to 100 for a day or two in the summer. We have a picnic if it lands on a Saturday. But I remember we got up to North Pole. There's a radio station up there called KJNP, King Jesus North Pole. And there's an AM band and there's an FM band. And I think it was the FM band that was a little more conservative. So we'd listen to that, my wife and I, the first 4 years we were there. And there was this little commercial that would come on. Almost every day it came on at least once, sometimes more than once. And every time it came on for the 4 years I was there, man, the truth was so powerful. I'd crank the radio up and I'd just bathe myself in the truth. I'd go, oh, that is so true. And I just revel in the truth. Here's how it went. Radio announcer came on. He said, have you ever been in church and heard somebody singing a little off key? And then that song that we sang tonight, Come Thou Fount, a guy began to sing it like this. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Now, as he'd opened that commercial up, and that guy starts singing, man, my mind would just leapfrog through time. Guys I knew that sounded just like him. I think old Dave Merrifield, my first Navy buddy, roommate, saved his favorite song, It Is Well With My Soul. And every time that got sung in church, he'd stand there like a foghorn at Gibraltar, totally tone deaf. He'd go, It is well with my soul. He always stand right behind me, and he knew it bothered me because he leaned forward and sing louder. Get to thinking of Christian Cast, Annapolis buddy, Naval Academy, the godliest, one of the godliest men I've ever met in my life. He's on my movie. He's a chopper pilot. Now he's a chief pilot for UPS. I remember when it was announced, Brother Cast was going to sing the special Sunday night, so be sure to come back. I thought, man, everything he does is first class. I can't wait to hear this. He got up that night and said, my favorite song is Come Thou Fount, and he began to sing it. And I'm going to tell you something. When he began to sing that thing, I had never heard a version like that before in my life. As a musician, it was like fingernails on a chalkboard. He is like the jailhouse quartet behind a few bars looking for the key. You know, I mean, he just butchered the song. It was painful as a musician to listen to him. This narrator says, you ever been in church? Heard somebody sing a little off key? And then this guy comes on just butchering the song. And then halfway through, the narrator said, but I wonder, have you ever considered what that sounds like in heaven? And then the second half of the song went into four-part harmony. 100-person choir, strings and French horns and trumpets. I mean, oh, man, it just lifted you up and put you on a mountain. And I know it was radio and you couldn't see him, but you could hear his smile. He said, worship, it's a matter of the heart. That is so true tonight. Your and my worship of our God, your and my service to our God, it does not depend on things outside of us. It wells up from within. It's a matter of our heart. If your heart tonight wants to serve God, you will find a way to serve Him. Service to God is a matter of the heart. Look in Luke 9. I'll go to our final point. I think my tow truck driver's here tonight. I think I know who he is. I want to say thank you for allowing me to finish the message. I know it's going to cost me dearly, but it's worth every penny. Luke chapter 9. And after this little point, I'll close the message out with a final point. In Luke chapter 9, I want you to notice here a very fascinating portion of Scripture. It's referring to the heart. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 57, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, certain men said unto him, he's speaking to the Lord, he's speaking to Jesus Christ, Lord, I will follow thee. He wants to serve him. Whithersoever thou goest. That's an amazing statement. Lord, I want to chase you. We yearn for that at an altar. We yearn to hear that from people today. Notice, Jesus knew something about him, and he knew what it would cost for him to follow. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And from that point on, you never see this guy again. Watch this, verse 59. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And here's a third one. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Look at this interesting response in verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Fascinating portion of Scripture. Don't read more into it than what's there, but I refer to this text as the sin of the backward glance. And here's what I find fascinating in it. Every one of these men had a place for the Lord in his heart. Just not first place. Every one of them said, I want to serve you, but. I want to serve you, but. And I wonder tonight if God could just unveil your heart and unveil my heart. I believe tonight it's a Sunday night. I believe for the most part, every one of you here has a place for the Lord in your heart. But is it first place? Then I hear old Tom Gillum, that old Southern preacher from Georgia. Kind of talks, shuffles, talks real slow-like. He said, my soul, God don't want first place. He wants all the places. Are you like me? Lord, this is my time. This is my schedule. This recreation is my recreation. Lord, don't bust up the plan. This room is my room. You can have all, but that one's mine. Don't tell me about that. Let me tell you something. You know what we forget? He paid for all the places. He died for all the rooms. He promised to redeem you, spirit, soul, and body, every bit of you. He deserves it all. Now say this tonight. The God you love, He's not better than Jesus Christ. The best one, Jesus Christ. You cannot trump who I have in Him. You do not have a God worth serving more than Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say that. I don't care if it's the entertainment God. I don't care if it's your drug God. I don't care if it's your booze God. I don't care if it's your pornography God. I don't care if it's just your self-righteousness God. Your God is not better than my God. My God is the true and living God. And He brings all of His all the way home, alive, alive, alive forevermore. He butchered Himself to give you the shot at heaven. He's a giver, not a taker. He that hath the Son hath life. Sin is a matter of the heart. Salvation is a matter of the heart. Serving God is a matter of the heart. And then close with this. Go to Proverbs 4. We'll close with this. There's a fourth truth. And the fourth truth about your heart and my heart is this. Your and my future success is a matter of the heart. Look what's said here in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse number 23, oh, there's much more about the heart, but these are the four I want to draw attention to. Your future success tonight is a matter of your heart. Notice what's said in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep means lock it down. Guard it. Men, don't let it go to just any internet site it wants to go to. Don't let it just go where it wants to go, see what it wants to see, do what it... Don't let it do that. It's a very important part of you. Lock it down. Keep it guarded. Why? Notice. Keep the heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. You know tonight, you are what your heart is. You are not how you dress. You are not your income tonight. You are what your heart is. What's inside of you, that defines you in the sight of God. You are what your heart is. Let me say it this way. You're becoming what your heart is. Boy, I see this all the time as I travel America. And I'll guarantee you, out here in Oakland, Maryland, here in Mountain Lake Community, I will guarantee you, if you don't have one of these young people, you probably have 100 or 1,001. Some young person that is surrounded by everything that's bad. When they go home, they've got a mother that curses God's name. She doesn't sing His praises. They've got a daddy that's a drunk or a druggie that reefs on and beats on his wife. And they hear cursing and they hear yelling and anger. They're surrounded by carnal music. They're surrounded by everything caustic. And late at night, when that house finally settles down, I will guarantee you, though they're surrounded by everything that's false, there's this little heart that wants to know what truth is. There's this little heart that says, somewhere, there's got to be more to life than this. And they're crying out to an invisible God. They don't even say it. Somehow, there's got to be more to life than this. Those surrounded by everything that's wrong, there's a little heart begging and crying out, looking for truth and peace. And I will guarantee you, there's at least one, if not more than one in this church right now. You've been, for the most part, surrounded by almost everything that's right. Your parents weren't perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. But they took you to church. They got you into teen camp. They surrounded you with the Word of God. They surrounded you with the things of God. You came home and they blessed God and thanked Him for the food. But inside of you is a little heart that says, one day, when I get out on my own, I'm going to live how I really want to live, and I'm going to throw this off and be who I really want to be. Given time, you know what happens? You will trade places with them. That one out there who's looking for truth, their heart wants to find it. In time, God will reveal His Son to them. They'll get saved and they'll be drawn into a place like this. And you, though surrounded by everything that was right, you'll go out and take their place. See, how could two people raised polar opposites trade places? It's a very easy answer. Your future success is a matter of your heart. You are becoming what your heart is, and time will eventually reveal who you really are. Sin is a matter of your heart. Salvation, it's a matter of the heart. You can't get saved without your heart yielding. Serving God, it's a matter of your heart. And your future success, where you end up, is always a matter of your heart. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, and I want to close with this verse. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, just prior to the flood, I'll close with this verse tonight. The Bible says in verse 5 of Genesis 6, it says three words. These three words are still in place today. It says, and God saw. I believe tonight God still sees. You may not see Him, but doesn't mean He doesn't see you. You say, well, how does that work? Come on. Surveillance cameras can see you and you don't see them. Satellites can see you and you don't see them. Man can figure out how to see everything without being seen. Believe me, God had this one down a long time ago. God sees you right now. And He sees what's inside of you in your heart. It says, and God saw, what did He see? That the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And then He saw something else that man couldn't see, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He saw their hearts, just like He sees your heart right now. And look at the response in verse 6. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Do you know tonight, you have a God, and I have a God, whose heart is touched by ours. Your heart tonight affects His. My heart tonight, can't even see it, affects His heart. If you were the only heart under the microscope, you see everybody else just phased out, the room got dark, and a spotlight came down just on you, and you were the only heart that affected God's heart, how would your heart be affecting His right now? Would it be delighting Him? Would He be pleased with what He sees inside you? Your thoughts, your attitudes, your being? Or would He be grieved? Would it grieve Him at His heart? This is why the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God, here I am. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, show me. And let me say as we close, the honest soul gets help. The honest heart gets help. Just be real with God. You say, well, what does He want me to do? He just wants you to throw the reins aside and ask Him to show you who you really are and what the need of your heart really is. It's the prayer God will always answer. It's the prayer we really want to, rarely want to ask. So tonight, the heart of the matter is this. It is a matter of your heart. Sin is a matter of your heart. Salvation is a matter of your heart. Serving God, it's a matter of your heart. And then your future success, who you'll eventually be, wells up from what's inside of you. It's a matter of your heart. I hope tonight what's inside of you pleases God and doesn't grieve Him. And if your heart needs help, I can't help it, but I know someone who can. When I was an 18-year-old Marine, I came to Him. He cleansed my heart. He saved my heart. He made my heart alive. He put a song in my heart that was never there before. He changed me. Oh, I'm not sinless, but I do sin less now. Amen? My destination has changed. Heaven's now my home. And I just say with all my heart, I've seen Him change too many people across America, from drunks to druggies, to self-righteous. That was me. That was my sin, the sin of self-righteousness, the all-American boy. I've seen Him change lives and homes, hearts, families, churches. He can do that for you too. If you want help, you'll have to give Him what He's after. You'll have to drop the reins and give Him your heart. My son, He says, give me thine heart. Let's stand. Commit these thoughts to the Lord tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just give you an opportunity to respond. The musicians are coming. I wonder tonight, my coach is stuck in mud. Maybe you're stuck in sin. Spinning your tires and going nowhere. Like me, you don't have the ability to get out of your situation or your sin. I had to call for help. I'm going to say something. That rig over there is beyond me. If I had a big enough shovel, I could get it out, but your yard wouldn't even look good when I got done. I need someone beyond me. And it's going to cost. I guarantee you this fella didn't come for free. And rightfully so. That's the way business works. I was a businessman for years. That's the way life goes. But you know what's really sad tonight? You're in sin. You're in darkness. Your heart's not right. You're stuck and spinning your tires and going nowhere and just digging yourself in deeper. And you don't have the good sense to ask for help. And what's really sad is who's coming to help you already paid the cost. The pull is free. But for some reason, you just think you can't live without your sin, without your God. It's just for some reason, you like being where you are. You're afraid to drop the reins and beg Him to pull you out and now become the Lord of your life. That's sad tonight. Because my God is a good God, not a bad God. And He gives good things to those who ask Him, not bad things. And so tonight, His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You tried everything in life. Why don't you try Jesus Christ? Why don't you turn your life over to Him tonight? Why don't you like that Marine or that soldier Ford who had just dropped the reins of your heart and say, you know what? I've tried everything. What do I have to lose? Why don't I go ahead and get some help from someone bigger than me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, preacher, that's me. That's me tonight. That's me just spinning my tires, going nowhere. I need help. My heart needs help. My heart needs help. It's a mess. It needs help. You slip your hand up, put it back down. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. But you say, preacher, that's me. Just remember me in your closing prayer. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I'm not coming to you. Lord bless you. There's one. Another, would you just say, slip your hand. Lord bless you. I'll pray for you. Third, I'll pray for you. I don't need to know the need of your heart. You just say, hey, my heart needs some help. Preacher, remember me in your closing prayer. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you, sis. You say, just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not coming to you. I'm not embarrassing you. I wouldn't do it for the world, but I'll pray for you. I can pray for 9 or 10 just as easily as 7 or 8 with somebody else. Say, preacher, it's my heart needs help. Needs help. You pray for me. You pray for me.